Welcome to Beaver Lodge Alliance's sermon podcast. We're so glad to join you. This is the latest sermon. We pray that you would receive encouragement, exhortation, and that Jesus would speak to you through this sermon. Enjoy.
Good morning. I'm Esther Johnstone, and I have the privilege of bringing the word to you this morning. I've been up here several times now, so this seems like old hat, actually. So I just want to remind you that next Sunday is the beginning of daylight savings time. So just remember that as people groan. But okay, our messages are in the book of Ephesians. And first of all, we have a map up there of where Ephesus is. And we had that last week, or a different map, but the same idea. Where is Ephesus? Now, if you were to go to that part of the world, you won't find a city that this used to be. It was actually the second largest city of the known world at that time, second only to Rome. But while I was at, I had the privilege of attending the Alliance Assembly that was held in Turkey. And while there, a group of us visited the ruins of Ephesus, which wasn't very far from where we were staying. The outstanding thing for me was seeing where the city used to be and sitting in the amphitheater. That amphitheater apparently held 12,000 people, and no mic was needed. Wherever you stood down at the bottom there and spoke, it would be heard all over the place. I remember, though, that the steps were pretty high. I could barely walk and get into the where you were supposed to sit. And, of course, this is such a great place. And there are it's one of the seven churches of Revelation. So a person could go on a tour of the seven churches, but it was the most had the most ruins there. So it was very, very special. So while we were there, somebody opened their, I think it was just their phone, to Acts 19. And this is what we read from the book of Acts. About that time, there arose a great disturbance about the way. A silversmith named Demetrius, who made silver shrines of Artemis, brought in a lot of business for the craftsmen there. He called them together along with the workers in related trades and said, "You know, my friends, that we receive a good income from this business. And you see and hear how this fellow Paul has convinced and led astray large numbers of people here in Ephesus and in practically the whole province of Asia. He says that gods made by human hands are no gods at all. There is danger not only that our trade will lose its good name, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis will be discredited. And the goddess herself, who is worshipped throughout the province of Asia and the world, will be robbed of her divine majesty." Now, the passage actually goes on to say that a riot broke out, and there was chaos, there was confusion, lots of shouting. Loud shouting. The city clerk finally got the crowd quietened down by telling them that, hey, they could take legal action if that is what they wanted to do. So if you Google Ephesus, ancient Ephesus, it's just chock full of rich history, and it's fascinating, really. And it changed a lot of government officials over the years, if you want to pursue that. But I found it very fascinating. Well, this is the backdrop of the book of Ephesians. And this morning we're going to consider Ephesians 4, 17 to 24. So the first part is the old way. Ephesians 4, 17 to 19 says, "So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. This is not a pretty picture, but actually, doesn't it describe the old way of life for many of us? That there was futility in our thinking. There was darkness, not sensitive to sin, greed. Another passage says that they are blindfolded, were blindfolded. This lines up our present world, where the religion is humanism, self. Their God is materialism. Let's just get more and more of whatever, money and possessions. And just think of how much we accumulate. And if you don't know, when you start to move out of your house, you find out, man, you know, where did all this stuff come from? And then their lifestyle is hedonism, which is pleasure. And look at how much pleasure there is in our world pursued in 100 years ago, there wasn't all that went on for pleasure. And I'm not really knocking it if you enjoy going skiing or whatever. And that their final state is actually despair. And how many suicides there are in our day and among younger and younger people. So that's the old world, the old way. And often there's a continual lust for more. More of this, more of that. And look at what we see on TV. It is always showing us, what more do you want? And even when we see those ads about buying lottery tickets, we need a bigger house, and hey, look at this beautiful place, and all of that. Well, our group studied this book, and it's by Max Lucado, Tame Your Thoughts. Because where do a lot of our things come from? From our thought life. And Max says this, "I wish you could have met our dog, Molly. She would have loved you, especially if you gave her a dog biscuit. She lived for them. Want her to sit? Offer a biscuit. Want her to fetch a stick? Give her a biscuit. Time for her to go outside? Just toss a biscuit on the lawn and watch her chase it. She never tired of biscuits. She would eat them as long as you kept giving them. One day I tested her limit. After she'd eaten a bowl of dog food, I gave her a treat. Down it went. I offered a second. Gulp. A third. She ate it. A fourth. Fifth. A dozen. She gobbled them all. I filled her dish with biscuits. She inhaled them. She was like a Hoover vacuum cleaner. Surely she will eventually have her fill, I thought. I was wrong. After 30 biscuits, she was still panting for more. I quit giving them before she quit wanting them. Her appetite was insatiable. She always wanted more. I wish I wasn't so much like Molly. I can honestly say I've never craved a dog biscuit, but other desires? I've drooled over new cars when mine was in perfect shape. I bought a new suit when I had barely worn suits hanging in my closet. My laptop does everything I need. Then why do I give serious thought to updating my equipment? Why do I always want more?" That's the old life and the old way. So let's look at the new way. Verses 4:20-24. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught in regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So, have you put off the old life? Have you put on the new, embraced the new? This sounds like a place in 2 Corinthians that Paul also wrote, that the old could be gone, and that we are a new creation. And we call this being born again, being part of God's family. There are many ways and times that our enemy tries to sneak in into our thinking and spoil our walk. This past winter, our Connect group also studied the first part of this book, in which he brought an old acronym called UFO. And he, Max actually said, how many times we come across an untruth or remember some untruth that someone has spoken over us, a remark, a feeling, a message that plays in our minds. It might be something like, oh, you're such a loser, or you can't do anything right. What's wrong with you? What's the matter with you? And we hang on to that untruth and let it percolate over and over in our minds, and then it will lead to the false narrative. If the untruth is uncontested, it just hangs around and it morphs into what you might say to yourself, and it goes around and around unless you get rid of it or come against it. And then we have an overreaction, can trap us into a stronghold. So how do we deal with it? When you know that untruth that goes over and over, we can do that, he says, and I agree with that, with gratitude. If I walk into my house and say, yes, Lord, thank you for this great house, this house that I have that is warm, that has running water, that has hot water for a shower, all these great things, Lord, that you've given me, we can come against those untruths and quit harboring them. As Max said in one of the chapters, something about quit thinking about those things, like quit thinking the thought and give up that. So now let's get back to Ephesians 4, where Paul talks about Christian living. Now the first part of the chapter, or the first part of the passage that I was reading about and bringing your way, is actually about the Christian life and how to become part of the Christian life. And if you haven't yet, this morning, you can. Turn to him, and he can fill and will fill your life with his love and his power to live the Christian life. And you may slip back into it, but the old way of thinking, but we have a new way of thinking when we do come to him. In one commentator mentioned that verses 25 to 32, he instructs, first of all, Paul has this pattern, and it was quite neat. It's a pattern of those verses where the first thought is a negative, but the second thought is a positive, and the third thought is why. So let's look at verse 25. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. So the first negative, put off falsehood, white lies, cheating, or things that are deceptive, breaking promises. And then the positive, speak truthfully. And the reason, for we are members of one body, a reason for the positive. Then verse 26 and 7, in your anger do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold in your anger. So the negative, do not let the sun, no, sorry. The negative is do not sin. Do not be angry. And the positive, do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. That's the positive. And the reason, so that you don't give Satan a stronghold. Anger. There's a lot of anger around, and people that when things happen to them or whatever, they're angry at God, and you think, the God of the universe, the God that made our worlds, the God that sustains us, the sovereign Lord. And he said, this verse has said, you can have some righteous anger when the defenseless are mistreated or there's injustice, but don't let it overtake you. And I always remember this passage as being such a good passage to read when you're married. Don't go to bed angry. Verse 28, anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. So the negative is don't steal. The positive, work doing something useful with your hands, so that you have something to share with those in need. The reason to share. Then verse 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So the negative, don't use unwholesome talk. Wow, think of that in our world today. There's so much swearing around. It's just frightening. You can hardly walk into a space, like into a store or anything, and it's all over the place. And the vulgarity that is around, it just makes me want to just stay home where I won't hear it, because it's over and over, and it's getting in there in our thinking and in our thought life and in our patterns and stuff without us even realizing it. So our words really matter. And I know that some of you know that I go to a Parkinson's group in Grand Prairie every Thursday. They are trained, I think, to say the positive. They never, ever say, oh, I wish you could do such and such. Come on, get up and get moving. They never say that. They always say, oh, you're doing so great. And you think, I am? Well, yes. And they're so encouraging. It's incredible. And I think, what a way to live. But every one of them that's trained, they're physiotherapists, and they work with a whole group of us every week that we go. And it's just, it just makes you realize that you can do things, and that as you do them, there's somebody cheering for you right there. Verse 30 now, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. I had a little trouble with that brawling one, but just the visual it brought up. But it says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So the negative, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. There are two negatives there. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with malice. The positive, be kind. And I have had an amazing 10 days of kindness around me. Some of you know a bit of this story, but a trouble light came on, my engine light came on in my vehicle. And I thought, wow, you can't just ignore it. I mean, you try to. So I went downtown, and I had the garage put there, whatever they put on it, to figure it out. And he said, I'll just reset it, and it should be okay. But you need to bring your vehicle in this week, because we need to have a better look at what's going on. And so I said, well, I'm going to Hythe this afternoon, because I play for a sing-along there. And oh, I think it'll go there and back. Surely it will go there and back. So I thought, oh, okay, you guys know what you're talking about. Or I thought they did. And so I went to Hythe, and then I was headed back home, and it happened to be that Wednesday that was so bitter cold. There was this biting wind, and I was just coming out of Hythe when everything quit. Just boom. And then there was this huge exclamation mark on my console. Like, I couldn't do anything anyway. So, but actually it had stopped partway in my, on the lane that I was driving in. And it was just out of Hythe, not just before that road to Limburn.
I thought, well, I can't just sit here in the middle, well, practically the middle. Lord, help me. I turned the key off and I turned it back on and it started. And so I thought, well, I better hightail it home. But I got maybe 50 meters when it just went, and I could feel it, it was going. So at least this time, I pulled way over on the shoulder, but there I sat. Now what? So I phoned a friend, or I texted a friend, and then I thought, Esther, you have AMA coverage. Come on, you've got that. Thank the Lord, but it was just terribly cold there sitting in the car. With no heat, but I did phone AMA, and they were very supportive, of course, and up in this area, it wasn't, blizzarding like it was in Edmonton, so they could come quickly. Well, when I say quickly, less than an hour, but there I sat and got colder and colder, but all of a sudden, I saw a police vehicle come up behind me. And it was such a relief to see this policeman with his yellow stripe down his pant leg and, whoo, okay. And he stopped and he talked with me and he said, somebody has called the ambulance because they think you're in medical distress. And he said, are you? And I said, well, no, not exactly. And so he said, well, I'll cancel that ambulance. And he went back to his vehicle. And then a little bit later, he came, and I saw him come out, and he said, I think you better just come and sit in my car where you can have some heat. And I very agreed to that because I was freezing cold. But the thing about it, his vehicle was behind me with his lights on, and there was so much traffic coming and going. Nobody could come up behind me and hit me. I had my hazard lights on, but I was okay. And I tell you, I felt so much safer. And then he actually stayed with me, let me stay in his vehicle until the AMA guy came and loaded up my car. And the policeman said, well, just stay with me and we'll go to Beaver Lodge. Do you live in Beaver Lodge? And I said, yeah. So he said, well, I'll just take you home after, too. So my first ride in a cop car. I thought it would be a hoot for the neighbor to see that, too. But you know, I took the vehicle to Lyle's place down here. And I wondered, Lord, what am I going to do with this crazy vehicle? It was worth nothing by this time. And he said, well, I'll just take care of your old car for you. I'll do all of that. And he was so kind and helpful. And I appreciate that. Then my friend Neil, who I've known for quite a while, I've worked with him when he was teaching with me in Hythe. He said, well, I actually asked the Lord, what should I do? And by this time I realized, it doesn't make any sense to put a new motor into that old car. So I thought, well, I'll go online and see what's available. And you know, once you go online, I mean, your Facebook page is just plastered with all these vehicles. Now I don't know what to do with them, like get rid of them. But Neil said he would check out things. In the meanwhile, I looked online a few times and I gave him a lead on one that I might want to buy. And he actually came and got me on Friday and took me to Grand Prairie. And he actually had checked the vehicle out and he said, yes, that's the one for you. So there's one sitting outside that you haven't seen in our parking lot before. And that's mine. And I just really feel that God provided that in so many ways. But there again was a kind person who came along and agreed to do that. And then I have had a woman who won't be named, who's in this congregation right now, who was my Uber driver all week while I didn't have any way of getting anywhere.
So there are acts of kindness. You know, you hear about people having random acts of kindness. Random, but very, very helpful acts of kindness. Well, I want to wrap up our time this morning with two life stories besides my own, which I've already shared with you. But you know, this first story is of a man who actually let go of the old and embraced the new and became a believer in Christ. And this is a story of the 18th century slave trading sailor, and I'm sure many of you know this, but the younger people might not. But he was known for his cruelty. Human lives transported in chains from Africa to the U.S. He had a Christian mother, but she dies when he is young, and so he's left to his own devices a lot. So one year off the coast of Ireland in 1748, his ship was caught in a violent, turbulent storm. He cried out to God, and that was the beginning of his spiritual journey. He wrote many hymns, but the most famous one, known and sung around the world, and practically everybody, even here in Beaver Lodge, know that song, Amazing Grace. That sailor's name, of course, was John Newton. Yes, he had put off the old and embraced the new, and what a change came into his heart and life. The second story goes way back to 400 AD. This man lived a wild, indulgent life. He actively pursued pleasure, ambition, and philosophy. He describes in his autobiography that he was in the garden under deep conviction, which only Christ can bring. He wept. Suddenly he heard a child's voice from a nearby house chanting, "Take and read, take and read." He picked up a Bible and read Romans 13:13-14, which urged him to put off all his old habits and lifestyle and clothe himself in Christ. He turned from his life of sin and went on to become a church leader and a bishop. Augustine is given credit for many quotes. One of the most famous is, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." So what is your heart showing you today? If you have never put off the old and embraced the new, I invite you to come forward for prayer, either now or after the service, and someone will pray with you to nail it down that, hey, you're giving up the old. You're casting it off. It's gone. Now, Satan has a terrible way of bringing some of these things back. And there are many, many times that I have had to sense these things that Satan is bringing against me in my mind and say, Satan, that is already forgiven. And you cannot dredge it up. It's gone. And it's behind me. And I reach toward the call of a new life with you. So if there is anything else God is speaking to you about this morning, please feel free to hang around and come forward. There will be people up here who will definitely pray with you, because we want all together for our body of believers to live in the freedom of Christ and to live each day in the new life that he has given. Let's just pray. Thank you, Lord. You are with us. Your Spirit is evident and working among us. And we pray that we may obey your voice as we hear it. And we give our lives to you. In your name we ask. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast today. If you'd like more information about us or find out ways to contact us, visit our website at www.beaverlodgealliancechurch.com. We pray today that you would experience the love, presence, and power of Jesus Christ, and then make him known.